Tonight on the Dan and Guy Power Hour, we discuss 1-2 Switch.
It's games turning on.
So this is the, like, WarioWare-esque party game,
yes,
right?
It's the WarioWare-esque Wii Sports party game. For
something about unraveling a treasure chest, right?
Oh my god, unraveling the treasure chest, they're milking.
So I haven't played the Switch. I saw a lot of them at PAX, and I kept wanting to go up and, like, ask someone if I could play with it. But then I remembered that I'm an adult, and that's not a thing you do. So I didn't.
What do you mean?
Like, walking up to a stranger and be like, hey, can I play Switch with you?
I'm quite certain if you saw someone playing 1-2 Switch, you'd be like, oh man, I heard about this. Can I play it? Like,
yeah.
They'd let you switch in.
Fair. But I did not, mostly because I was dying on my feet, as I normally am.
Yeah.
But so, this is one of the games. How many games did you get for the Switch?
So,
I know
currently
yours
own...
was coming as, like, a package that didn't arrive all at once, right?
Yeah, because I had to get it from a bunch of different places, because the way pre-orders get sold out. So, I got 1-2 Switch. I bought Snipper Clips. You know, off the eShop. It's another, you know, party game, which we can probably discuss at a later episode. Which I want to discuss at a later episode after I get a chance to play it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. And then, obviously, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild finally came in. Which, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it still is kind of disappointing. But again, that's for a later episode.
It's super amazing.
Have you played it?
Yeah, it's the best Zelda since A Link to the Past.
I disagree. Either way.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Continue with your...
So, 1-2 Switch, right? Got 28, you know, party games in it. And some of them are really goofy and weird and stupid. But they're so much fun. Like, I brought it over to Merrimack. We were playing. And I basically turned the console on. And we didn't even turn it off. We just waited for it to die after 4.5 hours. And we couldn't plug it in. Because you can't plug in the Switch when it's on in its stand mode. Just
that's...
a really terrible design. Oh my god, it's probably going to get fixed in a later revision. Although it might not, because the
way
docks...
How did that pass QA?
Because, you know, the idea is when you slide it into the dock, it plugs in from the bottom, and they don't expect people to play a Switch for 4.5 hours. Except, oops, they made a game so fun, people just want to play it.
What? I don't understand the... I don't know.
It's a really poor design. Like,
there's a bug somewhere that someone said, nah, we're not, it's too late.
Yeah, it's like, it's the only thing I can think of is, like, from a weird hardware revision standpoint, like, yeah, it's either, you know, we put it in like this, and then how will it use the dock? Because it has to connect to the dock through USB.
You could have just made a stand that would let you plug it in.
Oh, actually, yeah, so another piece of plastic, that'd be smart, but, you know... Nintendo.
I mean, couldn't you just rest it on, like, two books to give you room to plug it in?
Yes, I suppose you could do the notch strat.
Yeah.
You saw the
anyway,
tweets.
Okay, so
1-2-3
Switch. So it's 2,800 mini games?
28 mini games, not 28. This isn't the 1,000,001 games, and they just changed the background color. And they're really, all of them are, like, really, really fun. And, like, it even says in, like, the load screens, like, add some house rules to games to change it up, to switch it up. And so we actually did house rule some stuff, too. Like, in the game where you have to, like, shake the soda bottle until it explodes.
Did you shake a baby?
There is a shake.
That's awful. Don't shake babies.
There is a shake.
Yeah, don't shake babies.
There is a shake the baby minigame, but there's also the shake the soda bottle minigame. So the shake the soda bottle minigame, we did, like, you can't do more than 3 shakes. Because, you know, the meta we dissolved was basically, whoever shakes first, just, like, sit there shaking the thing in, like, a really weird homoerotic way. For about 30 seconds until it's ready to burst, and then pass it around, and everyone would only want to do 1 shake.
It's still kind of awesome.
I know.
Like,
but then sometimes one person would shake it too much. Actually, it was whenever Chris grabbed it, for some reason, it would burst in like 10 seconds, not even. So he'd be like, I'm going to do it this time, guys. He'd start shaking it, it would immediately burst. So we got to make premature ejaculation jokes.
I'm sure that's exactly what Nintendo was planning when they made this game.
You should go watch some of those videos.
Oh, are they all that?
Like... Every one of these games is basically like, oh, look it. We made a game where a girl has to, you know, take the controller and do something phallic with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's...
So what are some other... I'm actually curious what other house rules you have.
So in the
or one, even hearing about the other games.
Yeah, so in the one game, like the one, you know, the one from the cover where you have to like be cowboys and draw and shoot each other.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's what it'll do is it'll like go silent and then it'll say draw. No, fire. It says fire, and then you both have to pull up your controller and click the trigger to like, you know, shoot. Mm-hmm. But then there's another one called fake draw where it's just like draw, but then it doesn't say the word fire. It'll say random F words like flower, file. You know, and then after like some number of them, it'll say fire. But if you, you know, shoot early, then you just lose. It adds like a really cool thing. Like it's so much more fun than the normal draw, because the normal draw is just like twitchiness. This is like you have to listen and then twitch. And then we added the house rule that you have to stand back to back and then like walk 3 paces out, and then wait for the fire to turn around and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cool because it adds like another mechanic.
Yeah, it's like layers to layers.
Yeah.
Like a cake.
Exactly.
Or an ogre.
And the liar's dice, where, you know, it's telling you what the other person are in, what the other person's role was, and you have to try to bluff them out. But then the meta just became telling the truth. Be like, yeah, you rolled,
you know, telling the truth meta is actually pretty good, right, in a lot of lying games.
Everyone would tell the truth. Be like, yeah, you rolled a 12, you shouldn't re-roll. They'd be like, oh, okay, thanks, guy. And then they wouldn't re-roll, and then they got a 12. And they'd be like, wow, guy, you got doubles this time. Nice job. I wouldn't re-roll if I were you. I'd be like, oh, okay, I won't.
So yeah, how does Liar's Dice... You're all sharing a screen. How does this work?
So the way it works is you know, shake the controller to roll, and then like you simulate rolling, like think like Yahtzee dice, and then it will rumble the number of times that is the sum of the other person's rolls. So you don't have perfect information, because if it rumbles, like let's say 6 times, that means they could have, you know, a 4 and a 2, they could have a 1 and a 5, they could have a 3 and a 3. And doubles count for more than their sum. Doubles count for double. So like, double 3s isn't worth 6, it's worth 12.
So this whole game is done through vibration?
Yes. Almost everything in 1-2 Switch is done with, like, the controllers and vibration. The screen is little to nothing. It's little more than just, like, a static display most of the time.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, they even say, like, don't look at the screen for this game. Look your opponent in the eyes. Which is, you know, it's like, why don't you look in the eyes when we milk cows anymore?
So the controllers are that good that...
Oh my god. Like, when they announced, like, HD Rumble, I thought it was, like, a meme. Like, oh yeah, sure, yeah, it's gonna be HD Rumble. Because, like, you can simulate feeling ice cubes inside. There's a game called Ball Count, where imagine, like a box, like a little cardboard box that had, like, little marbles inside it. And if you were to, like, move the box around, you could feel the balls rolling, and then you could try to count the number inside. It 100%... It actually simulated that. Like, I don't know how they got HD Rumble, but I would angle a thing and it would feel like there were little spheres rolling around inside there, bumping just as they hit the edge.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
It blew my mind. Like, I thought it was going to be a joke. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be HD Rumble. And I, the first time I picked it up, I'm like, oh my god, guys, there's balls in here. And they're like, no. I'm like, guys, there's balls. You have to feel these balls. And then every single person at Merrimack just laughed at me, and they'd pick it up and say, oh my god, there's balls. Like, this wasn't even laughing. This was like, imagine, like, stunned, like, how did Nintendo do this? What kind of Nintendo magic is this? And, like, you know, you'd shake it, and you'd feel it, you'd feel the rolling of the balls, and you'd be like, oh my god, there's balls. I'm counting balls. There are little, you know, there are little minish, little, like, gnomes inside this controller that are simulating balls. And then...
It's like massaging.
Yeah. And then you look at, like, because obviously, you know, people already opened up the system and, like, looked at the hardware inside. The HD Rumble Pack is a tiny little box in the bottom of the controller. I have no idea how that works. Like, it's like 1/20th the length of the controller, yet I swear I felt that rumble all the way down.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. It was...
I mean, this means that pretty soon we'll have, like, full tactile feedback on games.
Yeah.
Like, a glove where you'll just, like, be able to pick things up and, like, feel it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the... You look at the, like, where this is going. Like, remember when the Wii first came out and it had, like, pretty good. Motion controls, like, not pretty good. They were actually pretty awful bad. Yeah, they
motion controls?
They were awful. And they had to use, like, the laser pointer, well, the IR pointer for half the stuff is a cheat. But then they came out with Wii Motion Plus, like, 2 years later, and it could do a lot more. Mm-hmm. And it could do the stuff, like, everyone thought, oh, man, it's going to be, like, the lightsaber game. Everyone was talking about, oh, there's going to be a good lightsaber game for the Wii. And it waited until, like, 3 years later for there to be a good lightsaber game.
Wait, is there a good lightsaber game?
I think Red Steel 2, and there was a Star Wars game, actually have, like, good sword controls that actually feels like it. Skyward Sword, obviously, had, like, it was a really bad game, but for what it's worth, when the controller wasn't desyncing, it did pretty much follow the remote one-to-one, just it would desync every 5 or 10 minutes. Well,
the reason people kept mentioning lightsaber games is because a lightsaber wouldn't have any weight to it, because it's made of light, which is, would make the Wiimote perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially just a handle.
The problem, of course, is that when the lightsaber bounces back off something, there's no bouncing back in real life, and then there's, you know, what
which
are you doing
there? But the Switch now is, you're saying that it totally could do that.
Well, it wouldn't bounce back, but it would at least have a nice rumble.
I don't know, I mean, you could, if you had, like, a specific controller that was meant to be a sword, I feel like it'd be pretty easy to make it so that it kicked back on you.
I should say this, like, HD Rumble, I felt those balls, but it wasn't, like, intense, vibrating my arm all over the place balls. These were subtle balls.
No, but, like, you could imagine a controller specifically made for sword fighting that, just for a brief quarter second, would rumble and, you know,
rumble
give you the sort of, like...
You, oh, I see what you're saying, yes. Use the HD bounce. Rumble technology, except, you know, 4K HD Rumble.
No, it just, you know... Intensity and direction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's ball count. Obviously, they're milking the cow, which is just... It's really stupid. Like, some of the games, it's more just the outrageousness of, oh my god, this is so stupid.
Well, then, it's interesting that there would be... I mean, so you said there's 28 games? How many of them would you say are just, like, outrageous? So there's the milking the cow one.
Milking the cow one. So, I'd say, actually, all of them are as outrageous as you want them to be. Like, if you play this game straight, it probably wouldn't be that much fun. But if you play it in a party situation where everyone really gets into it, and they're like, I'm milking the cow! Look at how much milk I'm making! Like, it's as fun as the players make it, which I think is probably the reason why they say, you know, this is a game that's played looking at the other players. This is not a mm-hmm. game where you stare at the screen.
That sounds pretty cool, though. It's
a really cool
concept.
It's
honestly kind of making me wish I had a Switch.
So, I'm going to be in Boston in either June or July, I don't remember when, for my brother-in-law's wedding, and little guy is going to be the ring bearer, which means, you know, he has to be at the ceremony, but obviously he can't really go to the reception, even though children are allowed at the reception, but it's a nighttime reception. He has a bedtime. Although, apparently his bedtime's 10:30, so, you know, daylight savings just wrecks babies. Well, toddlers. Either way, I'm going to be the one that's going to be watching him. Like, after it gets late, I'm just going to go back to the hotel room and wait. You know, so, if you want to come to...
Do you mean my apartment with the Switch?
Well, I'm going to have a baby, so no, but I'm going to be at, like, a hotel in the city of Boston. I'm not going to be outside the city, so... You know, I don't know where it is. I'll get more information. If it's close, by all means, you could come to the room and play some Switch.
Wait, brother-in-law?
Yes.
Did I meet Becky's brother?
Yes. She has an older brother and a younger brother. This is the younger brother.
I mean, I must have met both of them.
Yeah.
And I cannot, for the life of me, place either of them.
Yeah, they're generic looking.
I mean, I must have spent a lot of time with them, right?
No. They weren't at my wedding party.
Right. Okay, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's all, like, been so long at this point, actually.
Yeah. Either way, so that's when I'll be in Boston, if you want to switch it up. I mean, or if you are in Buffalo between now and then, or if you're in Long Island at the same time I'm in Long Island for work.
I might be in Long Island soon, I don't know.
Alright, we can...
I'm looking at those code boot camps.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in New York City for 3 months coming up soon. Which I might do. I don't know, I just interviewed somewhere else, so we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, how'd your interview go?
very well, but I was also dying with the flu, so I was kind of delirious.
Oh, God, that's the worst. That's like the Richard Nixon thing. Even if you were perfect, they're going to look at you, and they're going to get that, like... You know how, like, humans are naturally, like, they don't like being around sickly people? Like, there's a natural...
Right, because sick is, you know, they don't...
Like, it's an instinctive disgust. Like, you know, you are uneasy around the sick and the weak because... Like, it's an evolved response. Like, oh, geez, I might catch what they have.
I'm pretty good at faking it because I like talking to people, so it kind of, like...
You're good at faking it, at the conscious level. But at that subconscious, like, detection level, they knew you were sick right away, and they don't know why, but something about that Dan guy just didn't sit right.
Well, I'm hoping when he goes over the notes with other people that weren't on the call...
Oh, yeah, the people that weren't on the call are going to look at you and say 10 out of 10, and he's just going to be like, oh, okay.
So there, I was asked a question that I think I gave a good answer to, but I'm not really quite sure. But he asked, when do you know you're done testing something?
You never know you're done testing.
Well, yeah, so what I said was that there's always something that I could go back to that I didn't have enough time before. Or at the very least, I could always go back to the beginning and start again. Because there's definitely something I missed.
Like, testing is... You test from the moment the code is complete until, okay, guys, the code is locked. What's in, you know, what's in the branch now is what's going to production. No more changes.
Right. So pretty much what I said was, when someone tells me they're not going to fix what I'm working on, is when I'm done testing it.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's the right answer.
Yeah. I wouldn't have worded it like that because that sounds like a... That could have, like, a negative connotation, like... Oh, so when someone gets pushy, but, like, I'd say just, yeah, once the branch is locked and it's going to production, that's when you stop testing. And even then, you know, that's when you get started testing the next release branch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was more, like, philosophical question, but I don't know. Questions like that, there's no right answer, I will always debate for an eternity whether or not I gave the correct one.
Well, the jerk store called... They're running out of you.
I don't know how that one makes sense here, but...
Well, that's the idea of, like, you're debating something, like, long after the fact. Like, did I say the right thing?
Oh, yeah. That was a good episode. I think it went really well. But the... We'll see. And I'll probably hear from them next week. But I'll also... And the real problem is, like, I had this interview, and I had, like, an open house for one of the code boot camps, but... I've been sick the whole time, and just, I cannot make good life decisions when I'm sick.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, God's trying to tell you something.
Does not work in an office where people get sick? This is the first time in my life I've had the flu.
Oh my God, actually, I had the flu for the first time a couple years ago. It was beyond terrible, because I kept going to work. I felt it on, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I kept going to work for those 3 days. And then on Thursday, it was so bad, I took a sick day. It was the only sick day I took at LBI for sickness. I took a couple for injury. But, you know, like, the time I almost cut my thumb off.
Yeah, that'd be a good way.
So. Yeah, which was actually a funny story. I called them at, you know, 5 a.m. I'm like, I'm in the emergency room. I almost cut my thumb off. It's getting stitched up, but I'm not going to be at work today. But I called, like, the generic... you know, office number, which it turns out no one checks that voicemail. So at 7 p.m. the next day, I got a call from, you know, my boss, and he's like, Guy, are you okay? You didn't show up at work today. I'm like, yeah, I called you guys last night at 5 a.m. I almost cut my thumb off. And he's like, you what? Are you okay? I'm like, this was in the message. I'm fine. I got stitched up, but, you know, it's my typing thumb, so... He's like, yeah, we don't check that voicemail. Just call me on my cell phone. I'm like, that's good to know. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, in, like, an emergency, you're like, why is no one picking up?
Yeah, exactly. So where are we going with that?
Yeah, Switch. 1-2 Switch.
No, before the 1-2 Switch. After the 1-2 Switch, before the, I was talking about...
Sick days? The flu?
Oh, yeah, the flu. The flu is? Yeah, so I went to work for 3 days with the flu, took Thursday off, but, you know, the deed was done. I took out half the office.
Yeah.
Like, the next day, week, it was, honest to God, like, 14 people were out sick. And they're like, Guy, you did this. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Well, and that's the real thing is apparently your like first few days you're not actually sick.
No, I was really sick. Like it was achy and hurty, and I just thought I had a bad cold, and then I later found out I had the flu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt fine like Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday I was like, I don't feel too good. And Thursday I was just tired, so I went home, took a nap. And then Friday I woke up and was like, I'm dying. Yeah. So someone caught it at PAX and gave it to me.
So cool thing with the PAX pox, right? I keep a thing of rubbing alcohol wipes in my backpack at PAX. So, you know, like every handle, every doorknob. Sometimes if I just haven't cleaned my hands in a while, I'll just pull one out, do a nice quick clean, rinse it off. Obviously, rubbing alcohol dries out your hands. You don't want to just leave
it on
there.
That's the thing. I didn't get it at PAX. Someone else got it.
Yeah,
they gave it to me.
That is true. Yeah. Also, but you know, obviously, I can't afford to get super sick. I've got a, you know, 4-week old
baby. Two tiny humans.
So little guy at this point, he's almost two, which is like, that's the first big marker.
Where is he like, the chicken pox yet?
No, actually, people don't get the chicken pox anymore. There's a vaccine for that now. Although,
oh.
I guess like, it doesn't really matter. It's just the chicken pox.
Yeah, I don't know. I
wouldn't waste my time getting that one extra, but if he gets it, you know, whatever, if they mix it in.
I mean, you just want to make sure he doesn't get it as an adult, because as an adult, it's supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
And you can prevent him from having to deal with it by either giving it to him or getting him vaccinated from it.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's, I assume he'll pick that one up once he's in, like, second grade. That's always happens.
Yeah.
Either way. See, at two, that's when, like, a common cold isn't super deadly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you get sick when you're less than two. If you're, once your
right,
temperature...
Your body's still busy, like, developing just normal antibodies from
yeah, exactly.
The universe.
Like, you get a fever over 100, you go to the emergency room. That's an emergency. That's why they always say, like, you go to the emergency room, oh, there's a sick baby. It's like, well, who cares? Because babies can die from, like, the common cold. Once they hit two, it's like, yeah, they're old enough that, like, they might live that cold on their own. It's also why, you know, child infant mortality was crazy high until like 100 years ago. You had seven kids.
Their body is just doing all this work to get itself started.
Yeah.
It can't deal with external stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never understand how our species like propagated because our gestation period is awful.
I mean, for the most part, other people would take care of you when you're weak or sick or tiny.
Right, but so for 9 months, you are gestating in your mother, and for probably about half of that, you're severely, like, limiting her mobility. And then from, like, 1 to 3, you are completely non-self-sufficient. Like, how old would you need to be
well, define
before
self-sufficient.
You could survive on your own?
Oh, like,
that if
100%,
no one else was around, you
literally
would die.
No one else on your own?
Yeah.
Probably 8.
I think a 5-year-old growing up in that sort of circumstance.
No,
like,
because here's the thing: before you hit like 7 or 8, the part of your brain that can fully understand like real, fake, cause and effect isn't developed. Like critical thinking is not there. Like the part of your brain that does critical thinking just doesn't exist. So you may not fully understand. Oh, I'm hungry. I need to go get food. It's like yeah,
that's
you're
not critical thinking.
But like. There are
that part of your brain it comes in default.
Okay, I guess that I'm hungry. I need food, like, but like, how do you get food?
You murder things.
How do you murder something?
You hit it with a rock.
Okay, like this...
none of that's critical. Like that is all instinctual behavior. What you're talking about is like, you know, I shouldn't hit my neighbor with a rock. All right, because
the skills necessary to hunt. You don't have until you're 8.
You know, 5 and 8 is a crazy... anyway, my point being is, it's still a significant amount of time before human children can even become remotely sufficient at anything. How did we ever survive as a species?
Because one adult human male has the capacity to take care of, honest to God, like 10 other complete invalids. He can go out hunting, drag back enough food to feed 10 people. And if he goes out with a friend, they can drag back enough food to feed 20 people. If he goes out with 3 or 4 friends, they can feed a village.
one... You're saying dumb luck got us there in the first place, I'm and then saying... we were able to maintain by our just standards?
Yes. I'm saying it only takes a few good people to completely kangaroo carry their entire team. And that happened long enough until we had the technology that then you didn't even need good people anymore. One bad person with technology could kangaroo carry people. Okay, one farmer using modern farm equipment in the Midwest can feed 100,000 people. Right there.
That doesn't... All right, what happens when a lion comes for him?
He has a gun.
That, I don't think you've ever come across a lion, sir.
Then he has a big gun.
If you had to... If you were asked me to choose... who'd win in a fight, farmer with a gun or a lion, I would probably choose the lion.
Actually, I'd probably choose the farmer, because lions don't really go after us. They go after prey species.
No, no, this is assuming that both of these people want to kill each other.
So this is like Roman Colosseum. We literally threw them into the lions to see if the Christians would win.
No, no, this is like we transported one person's brain into a lion and another person's brain into a farmer and said, let's see who's going to win this fight.
Does the farmer have guns?
The farmer has a gun.
What kind of
gun? And he doesn't know how to use it very well.
Oh. What? How far away is the lion? Because is this going to become the melee range debate?
What is it? No, I think the likelihood of you hitting accurately a moving target enough times to incapacitate it before it can maul you is not...
The lion would get scared by the sound of the gun. The first time it hears a gun, it'd get really scared.
I don't know. If it's already coming to murder you... So, assuming a real lion, if it's attacking you, it's not attacking you for food, it's attacking you for safety or fear.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the loud noise is actually only going to make it want to murder you harder.
I disagree. I think the loud noise would at least make it pause.
I mean, what do you do when something startles you unexpectedly?
Jump.
Right. You jump into, like, some sort of, like, you put your hands up thing, right?
Ah! Yeah.
Yeah, now imagine a lion doing that.
You know, actually, this is a moot point, because our ancestors did have to fight lions in the savannah. Clearly our ancestors won, because we're around.
I think they probably made a deal. That's what I would do. Retreat with the Lion King.
You get everywhere where the light touches. We get the shadows.
What about that dark place over there?
No, that's not ours. You can have that.
Oh my god, this is like my favorite joke that I keep hearing people tell. It's the everywhere the light touches. What about that place? What did we just talk about? Alright, what are we talking about next week, guy?
Next week. This has been a 20-minute episode.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Guy, I'm so drugged up right now.
Okay, did I even go over all the games I want to switch? Do we even
No,
care?
You did not.
I talked about balls, I talked about Mega Milk.
You talked about milking, drawing, balls, and literally that's it.
Not drawing, like a quick draw.
Yeah.
What were some other good games? There was like the Roman Gladiator game where you gotta swing your swords and parry, but it turns out you're better off just like rapidly waving your arm around, like whipping it at the other person. With the dance off. There was the gorilla game.
Wait, pants off, dance off?
No, you keep your pants on. There was the gorilla game.
House rule?
You have to, like,
house rule?
You probably could, yeah. You had to beat your chest like a gorilla, like a Donkey Kong kind of thing. Except I held the controller the wrong way, so it didn't pick up any of my beats. So I got a score of like 300 when everyone else was getting scores of like 3,000. Miguel posted a picture of it on Facebook, and it's like, guy, so bad. I'm like, no. No.
Wait, how many people can play at once?
So... Most games are one person holds one Joy-Con, one person holds the other Joy-Con. It's two players. Mm-hmm. Some games have different amounts. Like, for instance, the baby game is only played by one player. The soda game, you know, shake it up, it's just passed around. Whatever we would do is usually we would just do, like, loser switches out, which works really well for the games because they're only, like, you know, at most 60 seconds, not even. So, you know, it's really fast. Downtime. And then obviously when we would start a new game, we would do like winner and loser switches out, because there was like seven of us, and you know, you want to get everyone to play through and then get okay, winner switches out now. It's like there was one game where it was, you had to pretend like you're picking up a telephone. Like you put the controller down and then you say hello when the phone rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when everyone has to judge your telephone manners?
Well, no, it's just whoever picks it up fastest and then says hello, because there's a microphone on the Switch that detects the hello. Mm-hmm. And but then there'd be different phone beeps. So there were some other good ones. There was the Gorilla. There's the Dance Off, which was okay. Quick Draw.
There's the chest with the chains.
Yeah, there was the chest tangle, which was, you know, that was interesting, where you basically have to, like, imagine there's a chest that's, like, bound up in different chains, and you have to rotate it to unchain it. One that was more fun than I thought it would be is Zen. And the idea is you're supposed to, like, strike a pose, and then, like, hold the remote where it shows you, and then as you, like, shake, if you shake too much, you break your pose. And then over time, the amount of vibrations you can make gets smaller and smaller until, like, the slightest little minuscule shakes take away from your health. And it ended up being a game we played a ton, because it was like, it's actually really hard to hold some of these Zen states. Actually, here, I'm going to pull up the full list of 1-2 Switch games, because I'm sure I forgot. Oh yeah, there's the boxing game, where you're supposed to, like, do different, like, punches, like an uppercut, a hook, a straight punch, but it turns out if you, like, do your punch the right way, where you start going straight, and then you do, like, a diagonal hook, it counts as, it registers as all three punches, if you do it right. So, it was basically, then became all of us just doing this one diagonal straight into hook to see who could,
who could super punch the hardest?
Yes, exactly. How is there not, like, a full list of the games on... I will say this, I really like... Like, the Switch does this really well, where it's just, it's the portable system. Like, you thought the GameCube was portable? This brings portable to a whole new level. Because it has the screen built in, and it doesn't need a power supply. Like, imagine if your GameCube was just, like, straight portable. And I know there were portable attachments. It had
a battery... Yeah. How long is the battery life on the Switch?
So, when I was playing Zelda, it was, like... 2-ish hours, maybe a little over 2. Like, at 2, it started giving me the low battery power. 1-2 Switch, we played it for 4.5 hours, but it sat in a cold car for an hour on the way over, because we got out to dinner first. So, like, I didn't check what the percent battery life was at the start of the session. So, at least 4.5 hours of 1-2 Switch. Possibly more.
But it's still really good.
Yeah, like... For a straight party game, like, how often are you going to go to a party and say, hey, let's play 1-2 Switch, and then, like, play for 4.5 hours, apparently.
Yeah, exactly, not super often.
Yeah, but, like, a realistic session is going to be, like, 2 or 3 hours, and that's more than doable. You just pop out the Switch, fits in your pocket, plop it down, pass out the controllers, everyone has fun. They successfully created an even better party system. I think it's unfortunate that Nintendo seems to be always trying to go after that hardcore gamer when they really should just focus on being the kiddie casual party system that occasionally has first-party Nintendo games that are really fun. Although maybe it's the fact that they have that niche so perfectly locked down that they are trying to expand out of it.
I mean, Zelda's doing a pretty good poll. Right.
We'll wait until the Zelda episode to pass judgment.
All right. I guess I should play more before I
declare
it good.
I've only played it 2-ish hours. A little more than that, actually. I was plugged in part of it. Obviously, I don't have the screen protector yet, nor do I have felt strips, so I haven't been able to use the dock on my Switch. I've been doing everything portable mode. As you know, the dock scratches the screen, right?
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. And not like repeated use. Like, you slide it in the first time, oops. So I have not touched the dock at all. One, I ordered screen protectors, which of course are sold out, so those aren't even going to be shipped to me until the end of March. And then two, I saw there was a do-it-yourself, like you go to Michael's, you get some felt strips, double-sided tape. It's really, really stupid that I have to mod my console just to keep it from destroying itself. But you know what? You go to war with the army you have, not the army you want.
Fair enough, I guess.
It's not fair. That shouldn't be a quote that it is applied to when you buy a product.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really a quote, but it shouldn't apply to buying products.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's going to keep scratching in the same place, doesn't it not matter? Because it's always going to be holding it in the same place?
Yeah, but I don't want giant scratches across my screen.
But if it's in the dock, wouldn't whatever's scratching it be covering up the scratches?
Yeah, but what happens when I go to portable mode and now my screen has giant gashes on it?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm going to be using portable mode, like, 95% of the time, probably. Like, my Wii doesn't get used. You know why? Because I'm out and about, or I'm traveling, or I've got children, and I'm in the family room with them. Like, I don't have the luxury of sitting down in front of a console very often. Basically, 11:30 at night, a couple nights a week. Whereas, you know, I can take the Switch into the family room, little guy's playing with Legos, and I can just, you know, start playing the Switch.
I really want a Switch, but I don't have time to play it, so...
If I were you, I would say, wait until, like, I think Christmas is going to be big for the Switch, because by then it's going to have a full year's worth of games out. It's going to have, you know, the big name games. You're going to have a Mario, you're going to have a Zelda.
I mean, Zelda's already out.
That's what I mean. But if you wait till Christmas, you'll have a full enough set of games that you could justify and say, yeah, that's good enough.
I really, like, if I knew I'd have time to play it, Zelda and Wacky Wavy Inflatable 2 Arm Man is enough for me. Like, I don't own a Wii U, so...
Oh, then you'd probably want to pick up Mario Kart as well.
Nah.
You don't like Mario Kart?
I've got Mario Kart on my 64.
So Mario
Kart, there's only so many Mario Karts you need.
Mario Kart has come a long way. Like, Mario Kart 64 was, yeah, it's got the mini turbos, but, like, I feel like Trix, which were introduced in the Wii version, that's, like, the modern Mario Karts at that point. Like, it's really hard for me to play a Mario Kart that doesn't have Trix at this point. Like, imagine playing a Mario Kart that didn't have mini turbos. Super Mario Kart.
I don't play Mario Kart for, like, the competitiveness.
I know, but, like, okay, let me say it like this. Obviously, you don't like Smash, but you've played Smash. Imagine playing a Smash Brothers game that didn't have double jumps.
Okay, what's the problem there?
It would be different enough from the base formula you're used to. They would just feel different and weird.
I don't agree at all, but I will concede your point, I guess.
Okay, imagine a game that has a feature you're really used to, and then playing a version of that game that did not have the feature you're really used to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with your point, I'm just saying that, like, because I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm playing Mario Kart, because I have a bunch of people over, and we just want to, like, go-karting.
Okay.
Like, they all have different features, so whichever one we, like, plug in is not going to have everything.
I mean, no, actually, Mario Kart, surprisingly, has been one of those systems or games that basically every game they add and they don't really take away. 64 added mini turbos. Super Circuit added the idea of classic stages. Double Dash added, really nothing. But it, you know,
well, it added the switcheroo thing that never came back.
Oh, yeah, that weird feature. Okay, well, from a racing standpoint, though, that doesn't really affect much.
Yeah, it did.
What did it affect? You could hold an item?
Yeah, you could hold an item and send it. It mattered. It wasn't good, but it mattered.
Okay, well, in terms of, like, overall features, though, for the handling of cars.
Okay, yeah, I don't really know.
Either way. It's a... Mario Kart 8. I have it on the Wii U, so I have no reason to buy it on the Switch. But if I did not have it on the Wii U, I would get it on the Switch. Mario Kart 8 is the definitive Mario Kart.
I mean, yeah, if I had a Switch, I would get a Mario Kart for it. My point being is that I don't need a Mario Kart to sell me a Switch. Right?
I didn't say it was something to sell you the Switch. I just said, if you get a Switch, you should get the Mario Kart. Especially because, again, the party console, you're going to want the party game. And you only need one Joy-Con to control. So it's like right there. You come with two controllers.
Right. Well, my point being is the reason I'm not getting a Switch is because I don't have enough time to play it right now. Like, I would get it just for Breath of the Wild.
Huh. Did you play Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I played it at work.
At
really,
work.
Really good.
Oh.
Like, it's kind of amazing.
Did we play the same game?
Yeah. I think you're just being a curmudgeon.
That is me.
You are quite curmudgeonly.
I do love to hate things.
I mean, I saw so many great gifts from that game that, like, there was one where someone went to do that, like, shield surfing thing and didn't realize their shield had, like, no durability, so they, like, jumped in the air, their shield touched the ground and immediately broke, and then they went, like, ragdolling down the mountain and then landed next to, like, a guardian that lasered and killed them.
Oh my god. Yeah, the whole, like, oh, you swung your sword at one thing, it broke. Like, I thought that was a meme. Stuff actually does break really easily in that game. At the same time, though, it showers you.
Everything's fleeting.
Yeah, but it showers you with weapons, too, so it's like, it's just, it's really the inconvenience of it, because, you know, obviously, I need to have whatever my weakest weapon is equipped at any given time. So the second I get a weapon, I need to immediately go into my inventory, play inventory Tetris, and figure out, okay, is this new weapon weaker than everything? Alright, you know, equip that one. Like, I find myself having to pause and switch my weapons constantly.
I
can save this for the
point here is that you should be breaking yourself of that habit.
And what, just use whatever's just equipped? Like, oh, you know, my weapon broke, but I picked up a tree branch. I've got a really good weapon in my inventory, and I'll just use the tree branch. Oh, a super rare weapon dropped. It's in my hand. I guess I'll just use it rather than save it for later.
No, the super rare weapon you switch out, unless, and you only pull out an important weapon when you're doing something, like, major. Like, you know, some major, like, boss fight thing. Otherwise, you just kind of roll with whatever.
Also, well, next time on the Dan and Guy Power Hour, we discuss The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
It's games to be fun.